Hey, this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And the first thing I want to say to everybody is Merry, Merry, Merry Christmas. We are going into Christmas week. And I think that's exciting. Everybody's rushing around trying to get all their holiday shopping done for whatever holiday you want to celebrate, Christmas or Hanukkah or Ramadan. They're all coming up. And tonight we're going to focus on making Christmas like your home Christmas, giving you the comfort and warmth and love that you felt during your good Christmases. And we are here, and this is a call-in show tonight. We have Mark Dodich, the famed astrologer, who's really known all over the world, and he's traveled half of it. And the phone number to call to ask us a question is 888-429-5471. So call in. We need your birthday, your birth date. That's a month, day, and year. We need your time of birth, and we need your location of birth, city and state. So welcome, Mark, to our Christmas show.
Hey, happy solstice.
That's right. That's coming up this week, too, among other things. We have a busy week this next week, don't we?
Great time to be an astrologer. Plenty to talk about.
That's true. So we have, let's see if I can do the list. We have Mercury retrograde. Mars is changing signs going into Pisces. We have the winter solstice. And we have Christmas Eve all in this week.
Busy week.
Good stuff. So what is it that you would like to present as we open up tonight?
Well, since you mentioned the Mars moving into Pisces on Monday the 19th and lasting through late January, Mars is kind of this masculine, I want it, I go get it. And yet Pisces is this very soft, gentle, psychic, intuitive, receptive sign. So I like to put those two together by calling it a spiritual warrior. And, you know, Pisces is about your higher vision. It's about your sense of spirituality. And so really, for about the next 6 weeks, any energy that people put into working on their higher vision that they have for themselves is really going to pay off a little down the road, but now's the time to get moving on it.
Right, and I also want to add my two cents for Pisces. Is to me, that's a weak sign, Mark, for Mars, and it makes you maybe not get as angry as you normally would. It might give you a little bit more gentleness and kindness towards people during this next week or during the time that Mars is in Pisces. And it also can, because it's affecting Neptune as well, am I right?
That is actually for New Year's Eve.
Okay, so, but it is affecting it in lightly. It's going towards that. That's also going to uncover deep, dark secrets and perhaps bring us some new medical discoveries. So all those things are exciting, don't you think?
They are, and with all the planets and all the signs, it's important for everybody to remember that there's always going to be a high vibration and a low vibration, and perhaps as human beings, it's our responsibility to say, where do we want to vibrate with this energy? Right. Because as you say, with that Mars and Pisces can be weak. It can be people who second-guess themselves. If people have addictive issues.
Drink too much or take too many drugs, absolutely.
And particularly New Year's Eve, that could be a problem with, and it doesn't matter if you're not drinking, but if someone else out on the road is,
right,
that's a real problem.
And then everybody has to be aware, very aware, more especially.
You pay attention to the difficult side, which, you know, could be people with substance abuse issues. And you also look and say, well, what is the higher vibration here? And that is, hey, I'm ready to take 2017 on and open to my higher vision. And why not? And put some effort into it. Mars says, get off your butt and go do something about it.
Right, but it'll be more of that when it goes into Aries. I think this is the thinking stages, thinking, talking, action. I think this is the thinking stage, the writing your resolution stage, and the making plans stage rather than the action. The action is going to come in February once this Mercury retrograde vibration leaves us.
And certainly when we add in what you mentioned earlier, that the fact that Mercury is going retrograde on Monday until January 8th, that's when you're doing that behind the scenes planning, or you're roughing things out. You're not carving things into stone. And so working on this higher vision, but just doing the rough plan right now would be a good use of that energy.
Well, Pisces is a mutable sign, so you're making mutable plans.
Yeah, you have to be adaptable and flexible, which is, you're right, mutable.
Now, we have James from Florida calling in, and his birthday is July 19th, 1953. Are you there, James?
Yes, I am, Elizabeth.
Great. Where are you in Florida?
Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. That's my favorite area. My best friend's in Boca Raton. Now, Mark, do you need their time of birth?
No, I think since we're kind of doing some short, quick things, that just the date is the perfect thing to have.
What's your question, James?
Okay. I really desire to be a much more positive force for the good,
uh-huh.
and the continuing awakening of our planet. And I wondered if you have any thoughts or suggestions for me to be more effective with my life goals.
I have one very practical for you, James. You're in Fort Lauderdale, and I know that there's a 3H organization in Fort Lauderdale. 3H is happy, healthy, and whole. And it was started by Yogi Bhajan. So if you could find where that organization is and begin to study with them, that would be great. The other one that's in Fort Lauderdale is Self-Realization Fellowship. Both of those organizations will help you tremendously. And they have wonderful classes.
The first one was called Free Age. What was the first organization, Elizabeth?
3H, like Henry. 3H. Mark, do you have something practical for James?
I do. James, everybody born in 1952 and 53 had the planet Saturn and Neptune aligned with each other. And Saturn is very practical, down to earth, and Neptune is kind of a visionary. It's a real psychics and spirituality. So everybody born in 1952 and 53 have this, ideally, to put those two together, and they're not always comfortable, is to be a down-to-earth spiritual teacher, okay? Well, since spring of 2016, this year, the planet Uranus, which represents let's rattle James's cage and wake him up, get him to make some changes, has been opposing like the full moon, where the sun and moon are opposite. In other words, pulling you apart to hopefully put you back together in a better way. So it requires you, we used the word flexibility and adaptability earlier, so I'll stay with that. And that's one piece that maybe you feel like you've been getting beat up a little bit this past year. It's really just trying to rattle your cage to open you up to new possibilities and expand your belief system. And what's coming in behind that is the planet Jupiter spends about 1 year in each of the signs. So between September of 2016 and October of 2017, Jupiter's moving through Libra, the sign of relationships for all of us. But for you specifically, it's literally sitting on this Saturn, patience, boundaries, discipline, Neptune, I must bring a higher vision into the world. And that actually is very positive, but it requires you to take a risk on yourself. And it requires you to be willing to transform your belief system to let more in. Because, well, since it's this time of the year, we'll say Jupiter's the Santa Claus of the zodiac. He wants to help, but you have to be tell the universe what you want, basically.
And I want to add one thing, Mark. Ever since August, we also have been tested with our patience and our judgments. And we really have got to soften up our judgments and have more patience. So good luck to you, and thank you so much for calling. You can also get me by email down the road.
Thank you, Elizabeth, and thank you, Mark.
All right.
Happy holidays.
Oh, you too. Mark, we have Debbie from Pennsylvania, and she's born on April 7th, 1968. Are you with us, Debbie?
Yes, I am. How are you, Elizabeth?
Hi, Mark. How are you? Happy holidays. Where are you in Pennsylvania?
Yardley.
You're not far. I'm in Chalfont.
Yep.
Yeah, that's where I live.
Yeah.
So, do you have a question for Mark?
I do. I have a question regarding my career. Am I going to be changing careers? Am I going to be staying in the profession that I'm currently in? And
what is your profession, Debbie?
I'm an esthetician. I do skincare.
Oh, okay. What you got, Mark?
Well, so, Debbie, you have the planet Venus, which rules beauty in astrology. Actually, you'll see it associated with people who do esthetician type work. Is towards the end of the sign Pisces when you were born. And what's going to happen next year is we have a little planetoid called Chiron, who in Greek mythology was a very famous teacher of healing. He was a centaur, half horse, half human. And yet he was this immortal god who was mortally wounded. Okay. Anyway, where I'm going with this is really starting in spring of 2017 and lasting into 2018, this wounded healer Chiron is going to be sitting on Venus in your chart, which, you know, is associated with love, money, and of course, as estheticians. And as a rule, you use the idea of half-step strategies is how I talk about it. For example, my massage therapist brought in a crock pot full of hot rocks, and she brought in aromatherapy treatments. So she was still doing massage, but she started adding complimentary services onto what she was already doing. Okay. And that's what I'm calling like half-step strategies. And so when I look at that, I think, okay, this is what's up for Debbie here, is it's time for her to take half-step strategies or stretch into complimentary markets, rather than, you know, night and day kind of changes.
Yeah, I think she's going to add to what she has and expand. That's what I'm sensing for you, Debbie.
Yay. Okay.
And I think that begins in April. And you might need to take a class or two in applications before you add that on. But it's going to grow over a period of time. So I'm going to say within the next 6 months, you'll be more comfortable with adding on new techniques to expand your work and get more customers. So good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Wonderful.
Thank you for calling. We have one more, Mark. We have Jill from Massachusetts. That's exciting. She's born February 24th, 1961. So she's a beginner Pisces. She's going to have some activity maybe in the next 3 weeks. Hi, Jill. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Where in Massachusetts are you?
In Gardner.
Is that near Boston?
No, it's North Central Mass, about 15-20 minutes away from the New Hampshire border.
Oh, very good. So you're up towards Nashua. That's the New Hampshire border. Route 3, is that right?
No, I'm probably about 45 minutes to an hour away from there.
So you're up higher. There you go. Are you on the shore?
No, I'm in the central part of Massachusetts.
Oh, well, anyway, I love that area. What is your question for Mark tonight?
I guess it would be kind of similar to what Debbie just asked, if you see any change in my luck or different career maybe in the next very near future.
What is your business? What is your career, Jill?
I'm in the nursing field, but I haven't been having too much luck with that lately.
You're not in a hospital? You're not working at all?
More school nursing here and there.
Okay,
but
so you're taking
I'm finding
part-time.
It tough to get back in or figuring out what I
was
doing.
It is. Pisces have been through it this year, and I am one, so I know. You really have to reinvent yourself, and that's what you're doing now. Mark, let's talk about this 18-year cycle that we finished and that we're starting a new cycle, because I think that affects Jill.
Would you be talking about the nodes that are the 18-and-a-half-year cycle?
I guess so.
Well, actually, it's real appropriate because, as you know, Elizabeth, because you're probably sitting there looking at the chart, is your soul destiny, what we call the nodes of the moon. They look like little horseshoes in your chart. We're in Pisces and Virgo. which of course is compassion and service or healing. And so these nodes travel around the circle every 18 and a half years, as Elizabeth was saying, and they are literally now coming back. So basically what you've been doing for the last year is finishing the last 18 and a half years of your life and now preparing to start a new 18 and a half years, okay? And like the person before you, I'll also give you that same half-step strategy. We have a really big asteroid, or what's become a dwarf planet, called Ceres, C-E-R-E-S. We get the word cereal from her. She was the goddess who brought the harvest to market to sell. But she was also a nurse, healer, Mother Earth goddess. And that Chiron, the wounded healer, the teacher of healing that we talked about just a few moments ago, is actually sitting on your business healer goddess, let's call Ceres. So I would call that, again, an opportunity for half-step strategies or reaching out to complementary markets or complementary things. And the other piece, and then I'll finish up, is the planet Saturn. And I know nobody likes to hear astrologers use the P word, patience, is making a trine, and trines are harmony in astrology, to Venus, which is your love and money planet. So since we're kind of talking more on the money level, we'll say you're going to have to be kind of patient with this process because your Venus was in Aries, which is not a very patient sign. And I will tell you, this is going to go on through August. So I'm trying to say that there's help available to you, but you need to look at it as a process rather than, Mark, just tell me when this is going to be done. Okay?
Okay. And what I was getting psychically, Jill, is that by mid-fall or late fall, maybe when Jupiter changes signs, you will have a steady job, but I don't see too much before that time, if that's helpful to you. So plan on doing some wonderful, necessary part-time work, and that should carry you through.
But I would just want to add, make sure you're looking at the bigger picture of your life because you literally are just now starting a new 18 and a half year spiritual destiny cycle.
Okay.
Are you looking, Debbie, are you, Jill, I'm sorry, are you looking for a relationship?
Possibly once I get the other stuff settled, I don't know.
Right. But I see that coming too. And I want to say it's around that August time. That's when we have an important eclipse, right, Mark? I feel that there is a destiny and a relationship coming late summer for you, which is going to put another smile on your face. So don't get discouraged as 2017 begins because we're beginning it with Mercury retrograde. We began 2016 with Mercury retrograde. But what's going to happen is that it may be stressful through June, but after that, it does ease up for you. Do you agree, Mark?
Yeah, I'm hoping that by middle of May that things start to ease up, but there's going to be a lot of shifting of our whole value system through spring. And guaranteed, if you wrote down what you value today, and then you go look at that list in May, I'll bet a lot of those items will have shifted or changed on you, all of us.
We should all do that as an exercise. On New Year's Day, everybody write down what's important to you, what you hope to achieve for 2017, and then look at it, say, on the summer solstice, and you may want to revise it and correct it. Is that good, Mark?
Yeah, and particularly because she has Venus in Aries, and Venus is going to be retrograde in Aries March and mid-April. Uh-huh. And so it's very personal to her, because it's landing on her own sign, shall we say.
Right. So that what that will do is make you a little bit impatient, Jill. And sometimes it's love them and leave them, or you have a wonderful woman you start and then you throw it away in 3 weeks. And those are just testing ideas, just so you know.
Well, and the Saturn trine, though, is good for business. It's just it requires patience and working at it. You know, Saturn is a sacrifice in the short term for the long term good.
But also, Mark, that can also mean that a partner comes that you get impatient with and decide to change partners.
Absolutely. But since money's her and career is her big issue now, maybe that's the starting place because Saturn's kind of a serious planet, as you know.
Yes, of course. So, Jill, I'm going to say that you will have what you need and you will begin to build a little bit more as you go into the fall months. Okay?
Okay. And is that relationship going to be around this area or somewhere else? Or
I have no idea. You'd have to call for a full reading to find that out. But thank you for calling. Okay. Let's Find Out. And I appreciate that you listen to the show very much. Thank you.
All right.
Happy holidays to you, Jill. Okay, Mark. What do you see is the most pressing problem as we finish up 2016?
Well, I think that without getting into politics or anything, I've noticed that a lot of people's fears have come up over the past 6 months.
Yes, of
and
course.
In my opinion, that sometimes we forget that we are actually in power and that the external influences of who gets elected or who doesn't or the economy or whatever are about our consciousness. And the way to solve those problems is not by electing somebody different than maybe you wanted or vice versa, but it's about saying this is an unlimited universe. And that I need to bring my consciousness into a place that recognizes that. And then we're not swayed or fooled or caught up in the power games that we see out in the world. And we're taking responsibility.
That's all fear-based. And we are, and what we do want, and I think what everybody wants, is some kind of a positive change where our losses that we've suffered start turning around and becoming gains again. That's difficult, but that's where the patience comes in.
And, you know, for the past several months, and including this winter solstice chart in a couple of days, there's that pattern that's been going on. It's called a T-square, like a three-legged chair that should have four legs. It's got Uranus, expect the unexpected, let's have a revolution. It's got Pluto, burn our bridges behind us, and death and rebirth, and transform ourselves. And it's got Jupiter, which is transform our belief systems and open up to a larger perspective, all bouncing around on each other. And I know that's been frustrating for people, but it's the old story. You got to break a few eggs to make an omelet.
And of course, Uranus also means hurry up, hurry up. So we are being tested on our patience.
It's true.
And we certainly have had some fast, swift changes. And I guess we're going to have more, but as that's going along, a lot of negative things have been exposed and therefore may be eliminated. I want to go back to my emailers that sent me the question, as 2016 started with Mercury retrograde and 2017 starts with Mercury retrograde, what is the difference in the planets in those 2 years that could make 2017 perhaps be a little better?
Well, number one, I think that the Mercury retrograde is in, I'm trying to avoid all the astrology techno babble, but the Mercury retrograde starts in Capricorn and moves back into Sagittarius. And skipping some of the astrology, we have Saturn, which is associated with Capricorn, in Sagittarius. Mm-hmm. And so that's people revising and restructuring their whole, shall we call it their whole value system, they believe in.
And of course, that's happening in the election too, if you look at it.
Yeah, and it's, it doesn't really matter whether you like the side that got elected or you didn't like it. The issue is that we're all being called, I use the words cautious expansion when you have Like, for example, Capricorn is very slow and methodical, and Sagittarius is the quest for the Holy Grail, and they're trying to work both during this Mercury retrograde. And so this is people restructuring their whole belief system to say, wait a minute, what kind of world do I want to live in? What reality am I going to choose? Do I choose the fearful reality, or do I choose the Sagittarius, the more optimistic, you know, good things come out of challenges.
And the other thing is that we have to get rid of some of the contracts and some of the ways we do things and find new and better ways that are better for more people involved.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody's going to have their different view on how the world should work, and that's normal and fine. But the point is that we're all being called to take responsibility. That's what Capricorn is, to it's not like somebody else should do it. It's like, what is my responsibility? What is for me to do? And then it's tied to the Sagittarius belief system that says, where am I limiting myself? Where am I holding self-limiting views, self-defeating behaviors?
And a lot of that can be our prejudices and our judgments. So it's good to loosen that up all the time. Also, you talked about having patience and going slow and working things out. And that's what we need to do. We need to give things a chance. And then if it makes a difference, we'll keep it. If it doesn't make a difference, we'll go on to the next thing.
Well, and as we've talked in previous radio shows, that Saturn is in Sagittarius in 2016 and 2017, and they're a little bit contradictory. So I use words like cautious expansion, conservative optimism. And so those people who want it overnight, you know, I want it yesterday, people,
yeah,
they're going to be frustrated with this. But the people who are saying, I'm creating something better in my life, and I realize that to make something better, it takes a little bit of time and a little bit of effort.
Sure. After you get out of high school, you got to go to college, and sometimes on beyond that before you can hone out your business.
And after college, you got to pay for the loans you took out to get through.
Also, you have to learn your trade.
Yeah.
That takes time. So if we're getting up to the break, Mark, I'd like you to give your website.
It's astromark.us, astromark.us. And the Winter Solstice newsletter was just uploaded, so they can download that too.
Great. And we're going to be talking about the Winter Solstice. And we're also going to be talking about the difference our lives can make in the direction of the planet Earth to help heal her when we come back from the break. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And we'll be back in about 5 or 10 minutes. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is a book by Elizabeth Joyce. The invisible energy, known as Shakti, Chi, the Holy Ghost, is not a time or a thing, but the underlying nature order of the universe, whose ultimate essence is difficult to hold or to understand. The object of spiritual practice is to become one with these energies, to become a tunnel, to become a download effect, or by whatever you choose to call them. To achieve this type of balance is known as the state of being. This book, penned by Elizabeth Joyce, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, is an experience of compassion. It's a desire to help others with these troubling times through light and love shining through the darkness, and to bring love and light to all those who read the words. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is not a fluffy feel-good book. It is a well-written practical guide exploring the groundbreaking philosophy of truly transforming your life. If you are serious about creating change, embracing your birthright with enthusiasm and grace, and creating your very own infinite possibilities, then this book is for you. With all the religious teachers, books, and masters of philosophy, we learn soon that they are one and the same. Spiritual practice is to become one with the soul and harmonize your inner nature in order to achieve that which you have been born to do. When you are walking your path, you innately know this because it becomes effortless. You think about it, you talk about it, you plan it, and you do it. This always involves meditation and the practice of moral practices. This book, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, brings the principles which can be discerned by observing nature and can be followed as a practice. Your impact and connection to this energy force brings you a force field containing unlimited possibilities. However you practice it and use it is up to each and one individual soul. This book contains the natural laws of the universe, which will help to open your heart and guide you. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is available at Amazon.com and at Elizabeth's website, www.new-visions.com. pick it up, and you'll keep it by your bedside forever. This is Elizabeth Joyce with your Cosmic Tip. This week's Cosmic Tip is about astrology and the stars. It has some very basic information about how it all got started. In astrology, certain stars are considered significant. Historically, all of the various heavenly bodies considered by astrologers were considered stars, whether they were stars, planets, or stellar phenomena like novas and supernovas, or other solar system phenomena like comets and meteors. In tradition, the astrology nomenclature, the stars were divided into fixed stars, Latin stella fixae, which in astrology means the stars in other galactic or intergalactic bodies are reorganized by astronomy, and wandering stars, which we know of as the planets or the solar system. Astrology also treats the sun as a star, the earth, moon, as if they were planets in the horoscope. These stars were called fixed because it was thought that they were attached to the firmament, the most distant from earth of the heavenly spheres. Stars and astrology degrees. Certain of the astrological degrees were identified and known due to their association with a corresponding star. The astrological degrees that correspond to individual stars must be correct for the precision of the equinoxes, such as the astrologer must know when any given position of a fixed star was noted to make necessary corrections and adjustments. The zodiac. Traditionally, the most important fixed points in the heavens were described by the constellations of the zodiac. Ptolemy's accounts likens to the influence of some of the stars in the zodiac constellations to the planets that he writes about. For example, the stars on the feet of Gemini have an influence similar to that of Mercury and moderately to that of Venus. This is how we know which zodiac sign rules each planet or star. According to Nicholas DeVore, while the fixed stars no longer are consulted much in natal astrology, they remain important in aspects of astrological divination, just as judicial astrology. These astrologers who include them in natal charts do not give a major star any significance unless it appears as a part of a close conjunction to a birth planet within 5 degrees. They have no effect by means of aspect. A first magnitude or brighter star on the ascendant of your chart or the midheaven in the horoscope may indicate celebrity. Some astrologers that consult the stars refer to their effects as parent for short. Parentinalia are stars that fall upon one of 4 angles of the horoscope, rising, setting, midheaven, or the imbium coli. At the same time, a significant planet is at one of those points. For example, if Sirius was rising while Jupiter was on the midheaven, Sirius would be considered a parent of Jupiter and could influence the way the astrologer interprets Jupiter in that horoscope. It is so interesting, and I know it's a bit complicated. Astrology takes years and years of study. Astrology and astronomy were archaically treated together and were only gradually separated when Western astrology in the 17th century came with the Age of Reason. During the latter part of the medieval period, astronomy was treated as the foundation upon which astrology could operate. Since the 18th century, they have come to be regarded as completely separate disciplines. Astronomy, the study of objects and phenomena originating beyond the Earth's atmosphere, is a science and is a widely studied academic discipline. Astrology, which I feel is also a science, uses the apparent positions of the celestial objects on the basis for prediction of future events, and it is defined as a form of divination, which is regarded by many as a pseudoscience having no scientific validity. For a long time, the funding from astrology supported some astronomical research, which was in turn used to make more accurate ephemerises for the use in astrology. In medieval Europe, the word astronomia was used to encompass both disciplines, as this included the study of astronomy and astrology, jointly, without a real distinction. This was one of the original seven liberal arts. Kings and other rulers generally employed court astrologers to aid them in decision-making in their kingdoms, thereby funding astronomical research. University medical students were taught astrology as it was generally used in medical practice. Astronomy and astrology diverge over the course of the 17th through the 19th centuries. Copernicus didn't practice astrology, not empirical astronomy. His work was theoretical. But the most important astronomers before Isaac Newton were the astrology by professors Tycho Brahe, Jonas Kepler, and Galileo Galilei. Newton most likely rejected astrology, however, and interest in astrology declined after his era, helped by the increasing popularity of mechanistic, cosmic, in the Enlightenment. Also relevant here was the development of better timekeeping instruments, initially for aid in navigation. Improved timekeeping made it possible to make more exact astrological predictions. Predictions which could be tested and which could be constantly proved as false. By the end of the 18th century, astronomy was one of the major science of Enlightenment model, used in the recently codified scientific method, and was altogether distinct from astrology. So they separated. However, it is true that astrology is based on scientific matter because it is based on the movement and happenings within our universe. My favorite quotes that I authored is, astrology never lies. And it doesn't, as long as the reader of the astrology is clear and accurate with precision. This is Elizabeth Joyce with your Cosmic Tip. Now, let's get back to Let's Find Out. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Next week, Christmas night, Let's Find Out will present some wonderful holiday music and a few special Christmas messages. Be sure to listen, especially if you've had some confusion and upset, because this message from Let's Find Out and BBSRadio.com is sure to warm your heart, to calm you, and to bring you peace. Thank you, and thank you for listening to Let's Find Out. Now, back to tonight's show with Mark Dodich and Elizabeth Joyce.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. Station 2. If Internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live Internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out. An honored guest come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
There is no Christmas like a home Christmas with your dad and mother, sis and brother. With their hearts humming at your homecoming and that merry Yuletide spirit. Ringing loud and strong, follow them, you've been away too long. There is no Christmas like a home Christmas, for that's the time of year all roads lead home.
Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And that was Perry Como with There's No Christmas Like a Home Christmas. Many of you do agree with that. And remember, it's always family first. And if you've been estranged or hurt by your family in some way, then remember your friends and the people around you that have been caring for you just as you care for them. So I want everybody to have a wonderful, warm and loving and Merry Christmas. Tonight I have with me Mark Dodich, the astrologer, and we are open to calls. If you'd like to call and ask a question, the number is 888-429-5471. And we need your first name, your birth date, and where you're calling from. The number again is 888-429-5471. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
I wish you were home for Christmas. Back here in Jersey.
Well, we're all doing the family thing down in California this year, so get out of some of this ice storm stuff that I'm having where I live.
Oh, I know. You've been snowed in for a couple of days. So we're going to talk about what's coming on Wednesday, which, of course, is the longest night of the year. It's the best day to get married on because it's the longest night of the year, December 21st. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the sky at that time.
Well, I started alluding to it a little bit earlier with a pattern called a T-square, which would look like a capital letter T if you were to draw the dots between some of the planets in the sky. And that's an uncomfortable combination, but it's also a motivational one. And the thing is, we were talking about Mercury turning retrograde on the 19th. Well, that's going to be a part of this pattern. And Mercury is how we think about things. It's how we communicate. And it's right next to Pluto. And Pluto is the let go and let God burn my bridges behind me. So for the next 3 months, what is it that we are done with? And where do we need to communicate in a greater sense of our power would be a great thing to talk about. And it's also going to bring in relationships because Jupiter, God of blessings, is in Libra as a part of this pattern. And so we're all going to be looking at what relationships are serving us and which relationships do we need to release so that they can, shall we say, go where they resonate better.
And so many people do have to do that, Mark, and are hesitant about changing relationships or letting go. And part of that has to do with they don't think they can handle it or they don't want to be alone. But I think since we've gotten to the end of this 18-year cycle and we're starting a new one, that letting go of relationships is healthy and to just trust the universe because a new one will come. They always do. Don't they, Mark?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And where I would add to that is if you're holding on to something like an empty shell where the creature is already left,
yeah.
Well, you're not doing yourself any favors and you're not helping the person that you're trying to hold the relationship on with. Now, it's true, they might get mad at you if you leave that relationship. Or I think of the example, I've got a client here who really was the caretaker to her adult children.
Yeah.
And finally got so tired of taking care of these kids who were in their 30s that she started weaning them off and cutting them off and making them do their own laundry. Well, of course, they were mad at her for a period of time. Mom's not doing our laundry. But heck, they were 30 years old.
It was time.
It was time, and she wasn't doing them any favors by holding on, and she was just making herself exhausted.
You know, my son, I had that with my son. I don't know if you remember. Vance, my oldest son, he had some problems adjusting to adult life, and he went through a difficult time, and I held him up as much as I could, and then there came a day when I said, you've got to go out on your own, and I gave him a week to find a place to live. And I helped him pack up and I bought him new suitcases and I took him to his new location. And I'm going to tell you something. It's the best thing I ever did for him. When he got out of the car and we said goodbye, I said, Vance, I've done the best thing for you that I ever could as a mother. And he was 36.
And see, this is also true of your work relationships, of your love life relationships. All the relationships in this world are going to change by the time we get to May. And
right.
This is just the beginning of, hey, I must be in my integrity. I must, Mercury, communicate truth.
And being in your integrity is important because if you are in a relationship where the other side is being dishonest and is hurtful, with lies, cheating, and stealing. You also have to end those and have the courage to do it, right, Mark?
It's true. And what that allows a person is to develop relationships of a higher vibration.
Right. One with their self and one with their own courage. And then people come along to help you. That's trust in the universe. There's never a time when you're in trouble that somebody doesn't show up. Maybe mysteriously, maybe just an acquaintance, maybe somebody that says, well, gee, I can help with that, when you didn't expect it. That helps you. It happens all the time, especially if you're a regular meditator. I think that helps build up positive energy, don't you, Mark?
Yes, and the one piece I'd like to add, which we started on way at the beginning, was Mars moving into Pisces.
Right.
Mars rules physical movement. And so if you've been lethargic this past fall, I know when I got back from my safari in Africa, I got lazy. It is time to get moving again. It's just that, as you said earlier, Pisces is a weaker or a gentle sign, but that's things like yoga or dance or swimming.
It's
not just about our relationships and taking action, but we need to get our bodies moving as well, at a very physical level.
I don't know if you noticed, but I'm going to tell you, from the end of October through the beginning of December was a very difficult time for me, because I literally went through all of my past and looked at where I could have made different choices and should have, would have, could have, if, and everything. But I felt that as I was redoing it, I was releasing. So therefore, I'm pretty clear as we come into December. And I'm just embracing the universe and waiting for the reinvention or whatever I need to do to come forth. And I know it will.
And what better time than the end of the year to do some self-reflection?
Right. So. That was a tough time, though.
And particularly for you, you know, in the winter solstice chart, there's several planets in Pisces. And since you have a lot of Pisces, we'll leave you be the expert on that. But clearly, this is about revisioning something in our life.
Yes, I think it is. I think it is. Very, very interesting the way it works. You know, when you know astrology and then you watch the world, you do realize that astrology never lies, because you can apply the energy and you say, oh, yeah, that's because Jupiter was in Libra, or, oh, yeah, that's because Mars went into Pisces and I felt that change. Or even if the moon changes, sometimes I'll feel a heavy day and the next day I'll feel a light day. Very interesting the way that works. So, Mark, how can we heal the world, make a difference in our life, and bring peace, the peace of Christmas? How can we do that?
Well, I know it sounds a little cliche, but I'll say it anyways, is you have to start with yourself. If you're working on yourself, your issues, and healing those, that's a really good starting place. And I see people all the time who think they need to go out and do some giant thing in the world. It comes through simple actions, and whether that's helping a neighbor move, or I even think, you know, I've got a couple of foster elephants I have in Kenya because I think that the whole thing that's going on with ivory is horrendous.
So
I can't do anything about what's going on in Kenya, but I can support like Sheldrick Wildlife Trust by fostering some elephants. And so it's a small thing, but it's something that I can do right here in my chair in Portland, Oregon.
If everybody does something small, it turns into something huge.
Totally. And the idea that you got to go out and save the world or sacrifice yourself, well, that sacrifice yourself is age of Pisces, and we're moving into the age of Aquarius. So
you know,
we
what
can't
I
get
say?
Over sacrificial lamb kind of philosophies.
I always say charity begins at home, just like the home Christmas. If you have a neighbor that is going through a hard time and needs food, you can cook the food for them. If you have a neighbor that has a child that's not doing so well, say in math, and you're good at math, you can help train them. So there's so much that we can do for other people right in our own neighborhood. Charity begins at home, just like family comes first.
And I'm a big believer in gratitude as a practice.
Yeah.
I just don't know what works better than gratitude. And because you'll see all the people say, oh, I don't have this or I don't have that. Well, that's poverty consciousness.
Yeah, that is.
You have to start with, Oh, I've seen, you know, like Oprah's done it, Deepak Chopra's done it, a lot of people have done it. You make that list every day. You write down on a pad three things that you're grateful for, and you do it for a week or 2 weeks or whatever fits for you. And you start to change the way you think and your consciousness around the world.
And one of the things that you're happy for is to have a house and heat.
Oh, gosh. I've got the fire all ready to light up in here. And
you go. But you do have another caller, too. Mary from Illinois. Ah. She's September 4th, 1965. Are you there, Mary?
I am. Happy holidays.
Oh, hi, Mary. How are you? Merry Christmas. Are you near Chicago?
Indeed, and we are snowed in and frozen in right now. We're going to get down to negative 10, which will feel like negative 23, they tell us. So,
yeah, and Mark, you and Mark are both snowed in. What is your question for Mark tonight?
That, believe it or not, I'm thinking about full-time getting into the metaphysics, feeling I'm opening up some large gifts. And also, the cycle of the bad health will finally end.
It was at 1964?
Five.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, happy holiday to both of you.
Oh, thank you, Mary. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out. September 4th, 1965.
That's
I know your Saturn's in Pisces. My son was born in 65. So you are starting something new. What part of metaphysics are you starting?
Basically healing work and psychic work, things like that. It's amazing.
And are you being trained? Do you have a good teacher?
What's that, please?
Do you have a good teacher? Are you being trained?
Yes, I'm being trained, but I'm always open to new teachers.
You're talking to one. Go ahead, Mark. What have you got for her?
Well, obviously, she has a lot of Virgo and Pisces in her chart, which are totally service and healing and anything natural oriented. And yet your moon is in Capricorn, which is a very stable traditional. So I would suggest that you find the way to bring what we'll call alternative philosophies into a way that the mainstream world can understand. First, it'll be better for your business. But second, part of your path, I believe, is about bringing this higher service, not just to the, you know, what we'll call preaching to the choir people, but to the people who you want to make feel safe that, hey, this isn't weird stuff. It's viable. And so, in other words, you've got this ability to bring healing down to earth in a way that we'll call it regular people can understand. And the other piece I want to add is Elizabeth mentioned it briefly a little bit earlier, is we've got a big total solar eclipse coming across the United States in August, and that lands very near your Mercury. And Mercury is communications, it's sales and marketing. So things like developing your email list, doing short, quick talks, doing things like this radio show, or little talks at bookstores or health fairs would really be a good thing for bringing you out.
Before she does that, she has to finish her training. That's coming in very strong, Mary. And maybe offline tomorrow or the next day, you can send me an email and we can talk about that further. I think I have some good things for you. Go ahead, Mark.
Wonderful. Go ahead, please.
Her Venus, Mary, your Venus is in Libra, which is actually one of its favorite signs to be in. Which is really nice. And the planet Jupiter, which is expansion and good luck, is actually sitting on your Venus basically now, and it's going to go all the way through July. So this cycle is a great expansion cycle for you. It's just that, I don't know if you understand the planets, but they'll move forward, then they'll turn retrograde, and then they'll turn forward again. I sometimes describe it like a road with three speed bumps on it. And the first speed bump, by the third speed bump, which we're saying is next July, August, and the first one, which is now, it's like, okay, this is the process of getting myself up to speed with what it is I want to create. under this very lucky Jupiter. See, with Jupiter luck, Venus, that's when you go buy a lottery ticket.
So buy one a day for the next week. Maybe you'll get lucky, Mary.
Well, and
that's
always a good thing. And I always tell people, if you are going to be lucky, one lottery ticket's enough.
I see that too.
But the other piece is because your Venus is in Libra and Jupiter is traveling through Libra, one good thing for you would be to get out and start developing relationships in your community or however you're going to do your work. And even though, you know, it may take a while to get your work out to a place that is sustainable, developing the relationships. I mean, how long have we known each other, Elizabeth?
Oh, my goodness, at least 35 years.
Yeah. And and so here we are years later, and I'm on her radio show.
Boy, were we young ones when we started out. We were young ones.
Yeah, let's not go there. But, but the important thing is Jupiter transiting over your Venus in Libra has a lot to do with relationships. And I know, like, when I started, I worked a lot of the psychic fairs, and part of them is like a carnival. But I met some great relationships that have, you know, done very good things for me over the years, where some of those fairs were not very, you know, like, am I going to make my money back? And if you just judge things on the money level, that's not enough, because some of the relationships I developed out of some of the worst fairs I used to work are still in my life.
So anyway, the whole message is, since we're getting to the end of the show, Mary, is it's wonderful you called. I wish you luck and a wonderful holiday and a great 2017. And I think you're on the right track. And I think Mark agrees with me. You will be successful. Don't you think, Mark?
Yes, but it's a process, not a when is this going to be done.
Takes a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take one last call, and this is Eileen from Pennsylvania, and her birthday, Mark, is December 7th, 1953. Hello, Eileen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. Where are you from in Pennsylvania?
Richboro, Pennsylvania.
Well, that's not far from me. You're near Newtown.
Yes.
What is your question for Mark tonight?
I was wondering if there's any career changes in the future for me.
You know, the people calling tonight seem to have something going on with the planetoid Chiron, because the planet Pluto, which has been in Capricorn's really since the bridge in Minnesota fell down, infrastructure, fall of 2008, is next year going to start sitting on Chiron in your chart, which I earlier described as taking half steps to get where you're going, or adding on complementary pieces to what you're doing. So the contradiction is Pluto's kind of a burn your bridges behind you, and Chiron is a take half steps to get where you're going. So I know it sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here, but we have this one thing that says endings, and we have another thing which says we're going to do half steps to get to this next place, rather than the Sagittarius philosophy of I want it all now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're another one I have to use the patience word with, and some people would change jobs, but go into either a complementary market, let's say. Others would do what they're doing, but add in extra skills to their skill set.
What is your career, Eileen?
I work as a nurse practitioner.
And you'd like to change where you're located?
I didn't know if there was anything to add to what I'm doing differently.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I know there's all kinds of new technologies coming out that you could probably pick up on, and I think it's going to come to you in a natural way. I think you're going to hear about some kind of a healing technique and follow up with your curiosity. So I do think it'll just come to you, some of these new ways, in the course of living your life. What about you, Mark? Is that what you think?
That, and what I would add to that is the timing could be just a little bit funky for you. In other words, the planet Saturn, which rules go slow, be patient, be practical, is on the opposite side of the sky where Jupiter was when you were born. And Jupiter just wants to do it big and do it all now and be done with it. So sometimes I jokingly call it the first time you learn to drive a clutch. It can be a little jerky. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Saturn saying go slow, be patient, sacrifice in the short term for the long term good. And Jupiter in your chart saying, I want it now, just do it and be done with it.
But there has to be mm-hmm. some training. I mean, there's training coming, and that's good. Saturn always is learning, higher learning and training. And I do think that that will benefit you. So make sure that you do follow up with whatever training is necessary in the new way that you choose.
Okay. And well, thank you very much.
Last thing, this pattern is going on through Labor Day in your chart.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, allow it to gradually come into place by fall.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling. Let's find out. Well, Mark, we are a little bit over time, so it's wonderful that you've been here. And we are going to bring you back on March 19th in time for the March spring equinox. And it's been a pleasure. And what is your website again so people can reach you?
Astromark.us, astromark.us.
Is there a phone number that they can call to ask a question or make an appointment?
Sure. My landline in Pacific time zone is 503-252-1558.
Great. Thank you very much for coming, and we'll talk again in 3 months.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. It's now time for our closing meditation. And this one is called the Holiday Meditation, Wishing You Peace. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out. Next week, we're going to have a Christmas show. Basically, it will be Christmas music and some wonderful Christmas messages. We'll see you then. Good night. And now it's time for Let's Find Out closing meditation. Please sit with both feet flat on the floor. Close your eyes, legs on cross. Take some deep breaths and try to get yourself into a relaxed frame of mind. Let's Find Out is celebrating the divine consciousness which is manifested at the holiday season. May 2017 bring to you your personal spiritual awakening. Happy New Year to your heart, to your spiritual chakras, and to your new life that's just ahead. In 2017, may your heart be lifted up anew by the joy and hope so strongly felt during this sacred season. The coming of such great masters who purely reflect God's light strengthens our faith so that we too can experience a rebirth from a matter-bound existence into the limitless nature of our soul. We are becoming free. We are becoming one. Take a deep breath, hold the breath, and just listen as these waves of energy come across you. Behold in our divine masters our own soul, our own infinite potential, to expand our consciousness and manifest it into individual lives as well as in our relationships with others. God's goodness, kindness, forgiveness, and love. The Masters show us how to live in divine energy and how to rise above the duality of this world and find peace within and be a giver of peace and love to others. By dwelling on these higher energies and striving to emulate the qualities expressed, you will open your heart to absorb more deeply the Spirit manifested in the Lord and all God-united souls. The strength that upholds the universe filled his being, and yet even greater was his humility, which allowed him to perfectly express God's will and his everlasting love. As long as we live in the confines of our ego's needs and opinions, we create barriers and separation from God as well as one another. However, when we think less of self, we become receptive to his wisdom in all the ways that it may come to us. thus expanding our understanding and compassion. As we are secure in the love of the Heavenly Father, we can become free of the need for position and outer recognition. Seek only to serve, and by doing so, we can know the joy of giving. See the divine in everyone, even those who have erred. Look beyond their human flaws and see their true self. We too can practice the loving, non-judgmental attitude that come in realizing, my God lives and flows through that soul. Every outreaching act enlarges our consciousness, but it is by going into our hearts, our temple of silence, where restless thought and emotion subside, that we can fully experience the peace that passes all understanding, the infinite love that the Christ felt, and the love by which God draws all souls back to Him. Such depth and inner communication comes gradually, but each effort we make can bring our lives into a greater calmness, empathy, and closeness to the divine. If we persevere, Amma has promised us that we can attain a communion and unutterable sweetness with the infinite grace, the indescribable glory, and eternal protection. That is the priceless gift that God offers to you this season throughout 2017 and beyond that. May it be the beginning of a joyous soul awakening and a time to share with others. In the oneness, we all feel the embrace, the sense of joy, the comfort of love, and the oneness of everyone on the planet and off the planet. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Let's find out. Elizabeth Joyce, bbsradio.com. Wish a blessed holiday season to you, all of your loved ones, and all of the important people in your life. Thank you.